be judges are usually used in civil cases. In a monetary case where I sit with you, we have a lot of leeway about who can sit on such a court. Right? There could be people who otherwise might seem to be an interested party. Now, the terminology that's used in today's times about choosing judges, let's see, even in arbitration, these the term zabla, right? Zabla.
Yeah.
But many people think that zabla is a corrupt situation today because people, right?
Lends itself to corruption, perversion.
Lends, but we'll see how our Mishnah tries to forestall the potential for corruption. Where corruption happens where someone is interested, right? An interested party. There's a good reason why the sculptures of the justices has a blindfold over their eyes. Okay, we can have a debate on this also. There's teachers, professors debate whether you should look at the name of the student when grading a test, right? Because maybe so if it's unequivocally one answer and nothing else. Maybe a multiple choice test with a grid. What difference does it make? You're not going to change. You can't change it. The answer is four, not anything but four. But when there's some leeway in an answer, and it might be interpreted in different ways, I think it's important that the teacher know. You know, look at the attendance sheet. Oh, this person attended every class. I know who it is, and here's someone else who maybe not to harm the student, but to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, sometimes. But in justice, you're supposed to be blind as to who's in front of you. All right. So if it says, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Dini man mister shlosha zeh bar lo echad v'zeh bar lo echad shneim barin lohen ole echad. Tiv Rebbe Meir. So the two of us have a court case. I say you owe me $500. You say you only owe me $200, and we're going to take this to court. So you pick a judge. I pick a judge. And then those two together will sit on the side together. Shnehen, those two, pick on a third that they both agree with. Right? Now, is there assumption of partiality on the guy I chose to choose and the guy you choose? I mean, it's chas v'shalom. The Gemara, remember, the Gemara says that when someone once said good morning to somebody before he was sitting in judgment, and he said, I have to take myself off the case. He said good morning in such a friendly way. Right? I mean, you know, it's the stories of the exaggerated stories of the potential for being partial in some court cases where any possible, even a smidgen of partiality and the judge took himself off the case, right? So there are stories like that. But here we assume that as long as those two agree on the third, that third will make sure that the other two remain impartial. Chachamim amrim, shnei hadayonim borin lahen od echad. So, alright. So now, we just realized from the story of the Chachamim that we misunderstood this. It's not the two judges, it's the two litigants together decide on a third. Alright? Now, two of us can decide on your father. I know your father, he's so fair. Even though, of course, he cares more about what you have than what I have, but I know him, he's so fair, I'm okay with that. You can do that. You know, in a criminal case, a father can't testify against his son that he ate treif to get malchus, or that he violated Shabbos. But in a civil case, the sky's the limit. Why? Because you can throw away your money if you want. You can give me the money. You can say, here, I owe you $500, goodbye. Right, so when it comes to monetary cases, there's a lot of leeway about this situation.
Zavla gives you an incentive to take a toy.
Just full flying. Zavla is the Rosh Tevo says Zeb Borer Lo Echad. It's called Zavla. See the four words? Zeb Borer Lo Echad. The four words of that, each one chooses one. It's called Zavla. You see it?
Mm. Yeah. It gives you an incentive to take a Dayan who is powerful and stark, not necessarily a tzaddik, not necessarily Dal Chacham, but somebody who's going to browbeat the other one and, you know, to affect the choice of the third, and thus the case.
Right, so First of all, you always like to make an adjudication as easy as possible. You don't want people to have to go to, go through an impossible and fly through hoops in order to get justice. So we have things called binding arbitration and communities that try to make having a Beis Din to be as simple as possible. The question here is jurisdiction. You know, how much can a rabbi, you can put down the binding statement that each sign, and so what? So if the other one says, "So I'm sorry, Rabbi, I don't like the psak you gave." It seems to me from this chalkos machokek and this urim here that says that. You made a mistake. I wasn't basking from that room. I was basking from this Rebbe Akiva here. So for that reason, the Gemara says that the judge should explain himself as much as possible. So that don't just give out a case and say, "Oh, you're guilty or innocent. Goodbye." You should explain yourself so that they leave the court making shalom. All right. Okay. Let's see how.
I think the RCA arbitration agreement specifies that you're not allowed to ask the judge for why how he arrived at the site.
Yeah. Well, I think it means is that you're not supposed to pursue more than what you learned in the courtroom or something that's in the court. And you're supposed to leave b'shalom. Now there are appeals. There's room for appeals. Okay, so the machlokus in the Mishnah is how we get that third person, whether the two litigants choose the third person or the two judges choose the third person. Let's go on the Gemara. Dina Mamanus Bishlav Sham. I'm Rabbi Zeira. What's the advantage of this arrangement? It says Shemitok Shabiru Maradef Zechuso. So each one will analyze the case of the one who chose him thoroughly, right? He will analyze that case. Now, there are two sides to every story, right? I just had a Choshen Mishpat Dinyan today. I don't get to it too often. But we had a Choshen Mishpat Diyun today. And, you're not supposed to hear, one side without quickly hearing the other. There are always two sides to everything. Right? The case seems so cut and dry and so obvious. So I just gave one piece of advice to clarify something, because something was so unclear that with the clarity it'll be obvious that which way it goes. All right, so that's the advantage here, is to get that clarity. But there shouldn't be, the first thing to ask when someone makes a claim is, do you dispute these facts? Right? In other words, they might agree totally on the facts, it's just that we disagree as to the outcome of these facts. Right? It was a misunderstanding someplace. Right? A person who asked me is never going to be listening to this tape, but it's so nebulous. But here's what is in a nutshell. Someone lost a job and thinks that there is recourse to sue the company that fired them without good cause. So that person is talking to a lawyer, and the lawyer says, "My consultation is for free, and then if I see there's some merit to the case, then I'll." So the person supplied some documents. The lawyer spent a half hour looking over the documents and determined that there is no merit to the case, and billed the person $200 for the half hour. At the initial meeting, they said, "How much do you bill per hour?" There was a little discussion about their procedure, and billed the person for $200. The person says, "I'm out of a job for a while. I really, $200 is not a lot, but it's still something." And they've been back for a number of months. Said, "They're not going to pay it. You told me that the consultation was for free." And they keep getting billed. Each bill is another $18. Every 2 weeks, it's another $18 late fee. So by now, the bill is something like $290.
Late fee's real stuff.
So forget about everything else. So I just suggested to the person, ask them when that free consultation took place. Because the misunderstanding may be is that when that initially spoke to the person, that they think is a consultation, and then the free consultation, and then that when they looked at the documents, that was already on the clock. But you see, you understand that in every case, everyone has their own approach to something, right? So please inform me. I just suggested ask the person to inform you. When did my free consultation take place? Because I assume that the reason why you give a free consultation is because maybe you think that there's a $500,000 case in front of us where you can really sue their pants off, and then I can get my $100,000 plus. For that, I'll give you a free consultation. You know, but in the end, it turns out to be without merit, I thought, and so I turned it down. You know, I compared it to when someone checks your tefillin, if it's found pasul, they don't charge you. Right? They'll figure it out right away that it's pasul. But if it's when it's kosher, that's when they charge you. Right? So if there's kosherus to the claim, all right, then I'll charge you. But if there's not, but still, this is. So anyway, I'm just trying to point out, you can see all the time there's a Chosh and Mishpat question. There are always two sides. And you have to be very careful, however, with what Rabbi Zeira is saying here. Because it looks like there's some partiality here. What do you mean? Each one is going to thoroughly pursue the case of the guy who brought him in? Isn't that like a little... doesn't that already smack of something that shouldn't be taking place in court?
It sounds like they're being advocates, not judges.
Right. So this parak is called Bishlosha Dayonim. You know, this is Zeborah is about judges, not advocates. So comes the Mephoshim, as we'll see some right here on this page. There's a Bach here that's important for us. Let's say that the role of this Birur that he's talking about is not Chas V'Shalom something that is as an advocacy, but just to assure that there is agreement on the facts. Okay, clear with that? You can have in the case I just described, everybody agreed on the facts. It's just a question we still have to determine when did the consultation take place. They may come back and say, didn't you realize that that's what I was doing with you in Shul? And the person may respond, yeah, but it was Shabbos. How can you make consultation? Well, we talked money. You didn't mind talking money on Shabbos. You know, see what this tangled web we weave, right? So that's the if it's a free consultation, I can talk to do it on Shabbos. You know, I wouldn't give you a paid consultation on Shabbos, but a free consultation I can give you. Anyway, so he says, let's read the words again. He says, "Shemitoch shebiruhu meradef zechuso." That sounds dangerously close to advocacy, don't you think so? Meradef zechuso, right? Each one has the case. The one who chosen thoroughly. And then the third will judge objectively. That seems clear.
Your mitzvah is on Shabbos. It's a dinish loyechot and iskar. So he can't claim pay before.
Yeah. This is not an uncommon way to arbitrate cases today. Right? I put my person, he had a case for me, and you pick your person, he had a case for you, and then there's the third person who has to end up deciding the case.
Yeah, but our mission is referring to all three of them as judges.
That kind of happens in arbitration.
Yeah,
right? You put three arbitrators, I pick one, he's going to advocate for me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just it's
see how the mission. Let's see how the mission continues. It's very. It's interesting because the Talmud Bavli has a long treatment of this, and look how short the Yerushalmi is. Just a few lines. Right. My time with Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that it's the two litigants themselves who choose the third, right? Okay, we just assume that the each litigant will get a fair hearing as a result of this. Okay, but this is not meant to include someone with an atiyah towards either any one of them, but to assure that everyone gets a fair hearing. All right, litigants are more likely to accept the psak, the final psak, as long as they feel they got a fair hearing. So that's really what the Gemara wants: shalom when the case is over. Right. Fair enough. Okay. So that's why Rav Meir says She's borrowed shlosh domidas achas, that all three should come from the same well. You get it? I chose one, you choose one, and then the two of us choose a third. So all three came from us. Okay, that's Rav Meir. It says here again the words, Kadesh Yisparu Shlosh Tamidas Achas. Why the Rabbanan say that the two judges themselves should choose a third? Lach kul minach mivchar meisev. Ma da'at boi ela an va'at mavcharin mispin madanon va'ayan. So it says, it must not be an unjust balance. Right? Especially if one dies, right? What I want is not going to be, might not be fulfilled. Right? If the judges themselves choose a third, then I have some form of impartiality. I don't care that all three have to be chosen from the same place. Right? Okay, that's the kasha, the rabbanan, is if one dies. If one of the advocates die, kashal derbonan meis echad lo nimtzu shlosh tam isparu midatz echas, and the Gemara just concludes the discussion there, is that if one of the one of them dies, then it does appear that all three are stemming from a similar source. So all right, There's a key component to this discussion here, is that the way this justice is set up, everyone will leave that courtroom feeling they got a fair hearing. That's the basic point. Right? The more you feel you got a fair hearing, the more you're likely to accept a conclusion that doesn't favor you. All right, simple enough. That's known today as Zavla, again, from the Rosh Tevos. And basically, whatever the two agree on is what you can go with. You can go your father and my father. You can go your father and your grandfather can be the two of the three judges.
Pei Moshe makes a really good point here. The judges pick, they'll just pick the third one. If the Bali Dinim has to pick the third one, it can take forever because they're fighting.
The judges also know judges. You know, those guys are know who's on the inside of this, and they're more likely. So the Mefarshim say, these guys are litigious. You get it? They're litigants. So litigious people will spread things. There's another very it's based on the pasuk. We don't want what's called ivus hadin. We don't want din to be drawn out. Never, it often happens that way. But we like everything. Even punishments. We don't want drawn out court cases. It doesn't mean that we're not looking into it, but we want things to be as clear as possible. Okay, take a look at the third line. You see where the letter Ches appears? You see that? In the Torah. I'm sorry, the Torah. These pages I give out. Moshe, do you have one down there? This is Simin Gimel Hilchos Dayanim. Itmar, b'gemara, mitoch sheze borer lo echad, v'ze borer lo echad, u'shnayim borerin lohen od shlishi, yitze hadin la'amito. The din will come out according to truth, because we have you see it there? Come in there, the third line? The third line, nirachet. Okay? Right? If he thinks, my judge, say something like me, like his did. So he said, because I didn't have such a case. I didn't have such an argument to be made. If I did, he would have made it. That's why I chose him. I've been saying the same thing. Everyone has to feel he's getting a fair hearing. Right? And each of the judges will advocate Takam. Okay, Nira Milishono Shahadayan Yesh Lafech Bishut Mishabiru. It seems that each one of those judges should advocate. King Kosovar Mazal, she hey Zem Hafech Bishuto Shal Baladin, Shabiro, Vizem Hafech Bishuto Shal Sheni. And we know that the father of the man who's writing this is the Rosh, right? This is the Tur. Yaakov ben HaRosh, and says when he writes it, the next words are Va'avi Adoni. Okay, my father, my master. That's the Aleph Aleph. You see that? Okay. Va'avi Adoni HaRosh Zal Kosav. The Rosh disagreed with this. V'zeh L'shono. L'fi sheyesh chasrei hadas toim b'divrei Rashi. There are people who mess up. They have empty heads. Right, who understand Rashi to be teaching v'lom din mimenu shadayan yesh lo lahafech b'schus mi shebiru v'omeid b'mkomo lahafech tevarim asher lo kedin v'hanugu nagu kama anashim livro lahem dayon bal tachbulos v'nisolim k'divri Rashi. And what they do, Yossi, and you said before, v'nitlim b'divri Rashi. And they hang themselves on the words of Rashi that one judge is supposed to advocate for him, one judge for him. Shemashma sheyesh lo lafeich bizchuto, that he has to turn things around to the advocacy of each one. V'chalila v'chas shelo diktiku bidvarav. Chas v'shalom. We were medactic when we learned the same Moshe. We learned with the. The way we explain the Gemara, Rashi doesn't mean to say that you're advocating for them. It's yet a fine line. I could see where maybe someone could make a mistake like that in Rashi. Fine line is that each person has to feel they're getting a fair hearing. Not that they're getting a biased hearing, but a fair hearing. And because what's the purpose here? We want MS, but we also want Shalom. MS will take place because these three judges are going to work out the case and apply the halacha. Shalom will take place because each one feels that he got a fair hearing. There's nothing worse in a court than to feel that things are like in Sodom. Right? Remember the Gemara at the end of Sanhedrin Bavli. It says that in Sodom, if someone hit you. They could sue you if you bled, because the bloodletting was a medical procedure. So you give you a clap on the head, you bled from your head, and he goes, oh, now pay me $400 for bloodletting. So the Gemara says that once Eliezer was passing through Sodom, someone clapped him on the head, and he was fined $400 for to pay for the medical procedure. So Eliezer took a hammer, hit the judge over the head, and said, okay, you pay him. Right, so he says that the people are nitlim mirashi that in order to do this. Take a look at the Bach. See what the base says. That stands for Bais Chodosh, the father-in-law of the Taz, who had a commentary to the Machaber. Itma b'Gemari. See mitoch shezeh borer lo echad v'chulei. Achi isa reish perik zeh borer. This is what appears in the Gemara. In Mash Pirish Rashi, Tsaisi Bali Dinim, Hulinir de Pirish Kach Mishum de Kashele, Halo called Dayan Chayev Lodun Din Emes Lamito. My Umid is a Borolo Echod. I mean, what you have to ask, who could possibly learn this in Rashi? They're trying to get to the truth. A judge is not there to. I mean, that's this is now we're coming down to the depths of the question. When the lawyer is convinced that his client actually is guilty, what is he supposed to do?
You still try to give your client a defense?
According to the law, right?
According to the law. Yeah. What's interesting on appeals, where you do pro bono work on an appeal for a criminal case, mm-hmm. If you cannot come up with an argument, there is a special type of brief called an Anders brief, which you can file, basically saying there's no argument here.
Okay, that's weird with not being paid. But someone's paying you a lot of money to get him free, and you say, you know, I've learned something that. See, what Bach is saying is that, let's try to read Rashi. Who could possibly read Rashi to say that these two guys can advocate any more than trying to come at the truth? I mean, if they're advocating against the truth, then these guys are not judges, they're Rishayim.
It's different between a Tain and a Dayan, I guess.
It's not true. Yeah. It's, but there's
the subjective
legal,
truth.
Legality is by its nature subjective.
Because I see it that I already gave you your free consultation, and you know you never made that clear to me. Well, I didn't have to make that clear to you. There you go. And so it's not a question of, so look, sometimes it's the facts, and the judges have to do two things. They have to interpret law, and they also have to determine a liar. Now, that's not so simple either. Right? They're under oath when they make their claims, right?
Neither necessarily are lying. I mean, if it's not clear, then there's
and economy. That's what we have to do. That's the great challenge of being a good judge. You know, it says that Shlomo wanted to determine the case just by, you know, listening to their, you know, heartbeat or their pulse, or, you know, determining whether, just looking to their eyes, whether they're lying or not. There are people like that. They're able to tell from body language whether they're.
There's something, you know, very good. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's what the Bach is just saying, is that no one should really have made that wrong interpretation. And Rashi is that even when they're behaving like advocates, their goal must always be to determine the truth based on the facts that are placed before them. And the first thing that the Rav asks, like in the Din Torah that they take for an arbitration, is there a disagreement on the facts here? Did you agree that this is what you spoke about? This is the that you said that there's a free consultation, and this person admits that, you know, seems amazed because they don't ever remember when that free consultation took place, unless you want to claim that that's what happened in Shul, so that when they followed up, the very next thing they did by showing you some documents was a. Was now to be on the clock, in which case the person may have recourse to go back to their law firm and say, in your law firm you give free consultations over Kiddush? Really? Is that how you work? Without seeing the documents? That's how you determine whether you're taking a case that might be, so. Now, in all fairness, that, you know, I'm just telling you the first side that, that, you know, spoke to. Yeah. But I didn't take the case for sure. I didn't enter it in Torah. Just, you know, I'm just advising this person who's calling with the question.
That's a hard case, right? I mean,
look, that person is out of work. $200 is not a lot for them, but it is when you're out of work. So, you know,
right. Yeah. I mean, the guy should have obviously said, okay, if you give me the documents, that's not going to be part of the free consultation.
The way I heard you describe the original facts is that he said, I'll see if there's a case, and if there's a case, then there'll be a cutback charge. If there's no case, so how are you going to tell without looking at the documents?
I should think even if they say that there is a case, I mean, I compared it to checking tefillin before, right? Right. I mean, even if there is a case, that's the whole point of a free consultation, is that there may be above $100,000 case here for me.
No,
right?
Right. So if you take it, then there's a charge.
Yeah, that's how they work.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. That's how I understood it.
Okay, that's mom's type of film case. I thought even if you take it, there's no charge. Free consultation means that, we'll see, it's a sort of a gamble for my firm.
Let me be.
I don't give 3 hours to do it.
Right.
No, either of us, depending on the nature of the case. Some consultations might take 10 hours to determine whether we want the case or not. Because there's so much in it for us if we take it.
Well, but then you, at a certain point you say, I'm going to have to charge you for this.
Okay, all right. That seems to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it took them only a half hour to see that there was no merit in the case. But anyway, look, they didn't even get back to me. I said, the first thing you have to do is to determine whether the other person sees the facts as you're telling me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Judean case. I'm just advising you how to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so if that's the case, then just ask, when did my free consultation take place?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Or when did it end?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the pshat. That's the pshat. The difference in Radhavi Rashi is what are those two very interested parties? They're allowed to be very interested, Rashi seems to be saying. And I have these Rabbanim at the top who were saying, no, Rashi says that Mamash advocates these guys. And then the Rosh said, I don't like that.
Rabbi, if you were facing the possibility of having to go to Beis Din, wouldn't you would be able to pick the judge that you would pick? You know their judicial philosophies. You would be able to pick a judge whose philosophy is useful for your case. The other fellow would, assuming that he knows who's who, he would pick a judge whose philosophy is useful to his case. And then presumably, either the two of you or the two judges would have to find some who's going to split
but finally, since all everyone involved, including the litigants, surely must be interested in truth, what happened, and then apply the halacha as it appears.
But there's no singular halacha. No. It's halacha is what the rabbi says halacha is.
No, I understand, but they're supposed to.
What the individual halacha?
Well, they're giving a case, and they say, "Oh, yeah, that's in Bar Mitzvah Daf Pei Zayin, and that's the this is what's going on," and they'll apply it.
Well, it just happens. it was in current events. It's a certain a big rav said that it's usher for women to go to college, and that there's presumably he's not a silly person. He's a heavyweight rav. His worldview, his judicial, his halachic philosophy leads him to the conclusion, the halachic conclusion, is usher for women to go to college. Other rabbanim, also heavyweight rabbanim who know all the gemaras, because of their worldview, because of lots of stuff, will come to a different conclusion. And you, as one plaintiff, and I mean, that's not so much of a plaint, that's not so much a DNA momentous thing, but it's an example that in halacha, it really is a question of personalities, and you want to pick. It's not an advocate who's going to like misread, who's going to law, who's going to like skip the facts.
Moshe, isn't it?
But within halacha, there's room for there's a human element in halacha. Rabbi Akiva spoke about how he would get every
murderer
suspect off of death row. Well, if I was faced with if I was faced with a capital case, I would certainly want Rabbi Akiva to be on the Beis Din.
So the question is, how was Rabbi Akiva doing this? Within
halacha, from his. But it also was Rabbi Akiva was,
and how did the rabbis react to this? And okay, look, like we say, there are different. Halacha is not monolithic. And there are many different Rishonim who interpret the Gemara differently, and Achronim who interpret the Rishonim differently. Fine. But that's for an ingenious group to work together and to say, this is I see this, and another one says no, and it's Rabbi Akiva who says it differently. And the three work on not on consensus. It's two against one. Two can determine, right? It only goes three to agree on the case.
So you have a Hillel and a Shammai and a Beis Din. Together, they're going to pick somebody who's somewhere in the middle, because Hillel's not going to pick someone from Beis Shammai, and Shammai's not going to
I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. They're all pursuing MS.
So if you have one here, pick one in the middle, and then you have justice. That's
okay. Cover, let's go to the next mission. Now, this is a little astonishing, because each litigant can disqualify the other one's judge. But he can't change his own. Once you chose your own, you're stuck with him. Right? Zeh posel ve'en shozeh, ve'zeh posel ve'en shozeh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So let's see how that is consistent with what he said before. He's the one who says that the two litigants choose the third. But each one can say, you know, that guy that you're choosing is so despicable to me, and he's so abhorrent to me, that I'm not even entering a case like this. Okay? Alright? Okay, so the Gemara will discuss this. Alright? The Gemara will say that this is only in secular courts, not in halachic based in. But all right, let's leave it for now. Chachamim amrim emasai. When do we say that each one can disqualify the other? Only bisman shehu may be alehin raya shein krovin upsulin. Avalim yuk sheirim amumchin mipi based in. Ena yochol apostlon. What are you talking about, Meir? If you want to say this guy can't serve in this case, you have to show cause, irrespective of his fair choice. You have to show he has an atiyah to him. He's related to him. If I can agree to your relative, but if I don't agree to your relative, then of course that's not right. I'm not going to choose your brother if I don't think your brother is either qualified or can be partial. But if I do believe he can be partial, I'm okay with it. It's fine. We're in good terms. All right? Okay, so simple enough. But Rish Lakish in the Gemara is going to comment on Rabbi Meir. Right. If they're experts and they're pursuing Sholo MS, so what's the issue? Okay, let's read the Gemara. All right. Okay, I have to caution you that if you know this Gemara in the Talmud Bavli, there are significant differences in the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi in what we're about to learn. Okay. Zeh posa de yonah shel zeh, zeh posa de yonah shel zeh. Okay, you got it? Okay. All right. Keni masnisa, zeh posa de yonah shel zeh, ha dayonah lo. We learned that when we did the Mishnah. It says that your own dayan you're stuck with. You can't change your mind after you start the case and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I don't, this guy is not good for me. You're stuck with him. Shloke Shamar, Barachos Shebesuria. In the Bavli, they spell Archos with an ayin. But in Yerushalmi, it's Archos with an al. Archos is the terminology we use today for secular courts. You know, there's a rule that you shouldn't go to the secular courts without first appealing to a beis din for your particular litigation. Okay. Habadayin de Torah lo. But if it's a din Torah, as the Korban Yehuda says, in bir lo mumcha, in chaver yachol apaslo. If he chose a mumcha and it's a din Torah, how can you pass a ben Torah? Now it's only in the secular courts. You think the secular courts are going to listen to you? You're going to say, no, you're going to just walk out. You're going to say, I'm not coming to this. Now, we'll see that you know, in some places where the Jews live, they could have been invited to a court case and could have been appointed by, and it could be a hazmana to appear before a court, like we do here. If I think you ruined my backyard, I'll take you to court. You'll get an invitation.
A summons.
Summons is what we usually call it.
Not exactly an invitation.
Is the Mishnah commenting on the practices of secular courts in Syria?
Yes, in the secular courts in Syria, they have a rule, that's what they're saying, they have a rule that each person can disqualify another.
Why would the Mishnah be spending its time?
Because Jews lived in all these outlying areas. All right, so Rav Yochanan Amar, however, afilu b'dine Torah. No, Rav Yochanan says no. When Rav Meir said that each one can disqualify the other, it was even in the Din Torah. Now, this is interesting, because usually when Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish comment on a particular case in the Mishnah, I'm not saying it's a waste of time, but, you know, there's a machlokis in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Why bother, you know, elaborating on Rav Meir's opinion if we don't paskin like him? You know what I'm saying, would Rabbi Meir say that? Rabbi Meir only says this. We don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim who say that you can't paskin the other guy. Right. So all right. So because in the Talmud Bavli, all you have is Rish Lakish, and it really Rabbi Yochanan doesn't miss a right here. But so then the Gemara is about to tell us of a particular case in the north of Israel about judges in Antioch and in Tzipori. I think the case goes all the way up to the next Mishnah, so I'm not sure if we're going to get it, but I think maybe we'll stop here. Right. Okay, so look, you know, it seems that the different ways to read Rashi, that what Rashi how Rashi explained the what's going on with the Zavla case. I attend quite a few Dine Torah in these areas, and there is quite a bit of abuse in Zavla. It seems to me they sometimes cross the barrier of advocacy into outright bias, it seems.
Among the Dayanim.
And they're paid, yeah, because there's some of these cases involve a tremendous amount of money, and these guys are in the pockets of Gvirim. I remember commenting on one of them. I said, it says in the Gemara, Ashrei, it's a song, Ashrei Mishai Baolukan V'Talmudo B'yodo. Right? Happy is the person who comes to the next world and he has his Talmud in his hand and he can answer all the kinds of questions they'll ask him in the next world. So I said, Oh, Ashrei Yusha Sheba B'Rabo B'yodo. In other words, he came to the court case and his rabbi is in his hand.
But that's sort of, it gives credence to what the mission is saying, that each side to the conflict should have a say in selecting the base din. That it shouldn't simply be, you shouldn't have a ready-made base din which may or may not have ties to one side or the other. This way, if you have to create the base din case by case, there's at least a good chance that it'll be somewhat balanced. Not that each one is impartial, but that should be a balance of power.
So the Bach wants the same thing. I'm just telling you that it has come to abuse.
Are you on these cases as the third person or as one of the first two?
One of the first two.
Okay.
Idea.
And the other guy, other than the first two,
some of these cases are things that you wouldn't expect to come up in the court. Someone wants to sell a building for bad usage in the neighborhood, and the community doesn't says you destroy our community, and then he says that it's
liberal political.
Remember being on such a case, we ended up stopping. We were able to stop it, convince the rabbi that what he wanted to do was
good lawyers.
So egregious.
I mean, this is a very common way of arbitrating commercial disputes. And the judge, people usually assume that the guy I appoint is going to advocate for me, and the guy he appoints is. I mean, they're not judges, they're arbitrators, but people do assume that that's what's happening.
The conservatives come with therapy.
The problem is that the lawyers come with such a reputation for what I do with my client, what's good for my client at the expense of.
There's too much of that.
Bach says that Rashi was being naive. Rashi was saying, "All right, it'll be sorted out." That's what Moshe is saying. It'll be sorted out when it's all finished. But okay, all right, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Another
one.